Next session, that is Shrimadam. I once again welcome all of you to this Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call, and thank you so much for giving all of your time and association for us to participate in this wonderful session of Bhagavatam. So we will be moving on to our next session. Before moving to the next session, I would like to hand over the call to Suresh Sham Prabhuji for giving brief introduction about His Grace Adokshaja Krishna Prabhuji. Hare Krishna, Suresh Sham Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining the call. Over to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Panam. All glories to Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. So, brief introduction about Prabhuji today. His Grace Adokshara Krishna Prabhu came in touch with Bhagavad Gita and ISKCON in 2013. Prabhuji earned a BTEC in Electronics and Communication. Prabhuji served as a hardware engineer in the Indian Navy from 2014 to 2017. He was initiated in 2017 by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. Adokshaja Krishna Prabhu is currently working independently and trying to understand Srila Prabhupada's books. Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Panam. Back to you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving that brief introduction about Prabhuji. So I don't see Prabhuji has joined the call, so we can go ahead with the introduction. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining the call. Hare Krishna. Can you hear us, Prabhuji?
Yes, Mataji, I can hear.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving us your valuable time and association and to be enlightening on this topic of Srimad Bhagavatam on Canto 6, Chapter 13, Text 12 and 13. Over to you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashtaprayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishthiki. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 13, text 12 and 13. Tam dadarshanu dhavantim chandalim iva rupinim jaraya vepamanangim yakshmagrastam asrikpatam Vikirya palitan keshans tishtha tishtheti bhashinim meena gandhya sugandhena kurvatim marga dushanam tam dadarshanu dhavantim chandalim iva rupinim jaraya vepamanangim yakshmagrastam asrikpatam Vikirya palitan keshams tishtha tishtheti bhashinim meena gandhya sugandhena kurvatim marga dushanam tam dadarshanu dhavantim chandalim iva rupinim jaraya vepamanangim yakshmagrastam asrikpatam Vikirya palitan keshans tishtha tishtheti bhashinim meena gandhya asugandhena kurvatim marga dushanam. Synonyms, translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Synonyms, tam, the sinful reaction, the darsha, he saw, anudhavantim, chasing, chandalim, a woman of the lowest class, eva, like, Rupinim taking a form, Jaraya because of old age, Vepamana Angim, whose bodily limbs were trembling, Yakshmagrastam, infected with tuberculosis, Asakpatam, whose clothes were covered with blood, Vikirya, scattering, Palitan, grave, Keshan, hair, Tishtha, Tishtha, wait, wait, Iti, thus, Bhashini, calling, Meenagandhi, the smell of fish, Asu, whose breath, Gandhena, by the odor, Kurvatim, bringing about, Margadushanam, the pollution of the whole street. Indra saw personified sinful reaction chasing him, appearing like a Chandala woman, a woman of the lowest class. She seemed very old and all the limbs of her body trembled. Because she was afflicted with tuberculosis, her body and garments were covered with blood. Breathing an unbearable fishy odor that polluted the entire street, she called to Indra, "Wait, wait." When a person is afflicted with tuberculosis, he often vomits blood, which makes his garments bloody. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघाय ते गुरुपातं हं वन्दे श्री गुरुं विन्तारं परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्य ईश्वरं हरे कृष्ण सो द ऑनगोइंग चैप्टर इज द कंक्लूडिंग चैप्टर ऑफ दिस पास्ट टाइम ऑफ इंद्र किलिंग वृत्रासुर एंड आफ्टर टुडे श्लोक प्रैक्टिकली ऑल द अदर वर्सेस हैव नो पर्पोर्ट But since I have been asked to speak on this verse only, so the prominent thing in today's shloka is that Indra is chased by sinful reaction in a personified form. So in previous verses, we all heard, I mean, I heard the class by Kamal Lochan Prabhu. So in previous verses, we have read or heard that how killing Vritrasura, everyone was happy, but Indra was not happy because Indra is a great person. And if we don't look at Bhagavatam, basically our scriptures have different gradations. We know that Puranas are in three categories: Tamasic Puranas, Rajasic Puranas, and Sattvic Puranas. In the sense that knowledge is not ignorance, means knowledge removes ignorance. But why is it called Tamasic Puranas? Because it is meant for people who are in mode of ignorance. Similarly, some texts are meant for people who are in prominently in mode of passion. And Vaishnava Purana, Vishnu Puranas, are Puranas which glorify Lord Vishnu. They are in mode of goodness, meant for those who are in goodness. So even in the scriptures, there are gradations. And accordingly, there is variation in the description of the attributes of different personalities. So if we look in Vedas, if we look in Atharva Veda, I have not read Vedas, I just saw first few pages of it. So Indra is glorified very much. In Vedas, if you see, I mean, those who want to take a look, demigods are glorified to a great extent, because the purpose of majorly Vedas cover Karmakanda, and Karmakanda means you perform sacrifice and please demigods, and they in turn give you prosperity. And this is what Krishna says in third chapter: Sa yagyah praja shrishtva purovacha prajapati. So in the beginning of creation, Lord created the system of yagya. So Krishna says in third chapter that by performing this yagya, you will please demigods, and they in turn will give you what you want. So in this way, prosperity will reign for both. But this system is, devotees don't follow this system, and that gradually we learn in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that worship of demigods is an indirectly worshipping me. And those who do so, they are less intelligent, because they have opportunity to do a direct service and get liberated, come back to me. But they are worshipping demigods and getting fruits which is temporary. Antavattu phalam tesham tadbhavati alpamedhasam. So because demigods are temporary, so they're given boons, they're given benedictions are also temporary. So that's why it's antavattu. Even they will die, and the boons given by them will also one day end. So those who are spending their precious human life in worshipping demigods for seeking some benedictions, they are actually alpamedhasam, Bhagavad Gita says. They are less intelligent. Whereas Bhagavatam says, real intelligent people. If you have intelligence, you will worship Vishnu. Akamaha sarva kamova moksha kamo udaradhi. Udaradhi. The word used is udar, magnanimous. Magnanimous people, those who come to Krishna, they are actually magnanimous. Even Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, udara sarvaite. When Krishna speaks this famous verse, chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukritana arjuna artha jigyasura arthi gyani cha bhartarshava. In the next verse, Krishna says, they're all udar, they're all magnanimous, because they're coming to me. So when we study scriptures, there are different apparent contradictions, or sometimes one personality is glorified to such a great extent, it almost appears like he is Supreme Lord. And somewhere he is derided so much that it appears that how can he become so a demigod? He does so many mistakes, still he is demigod. Are even I am better than that. Sometimes we may feel like that. I don't commit, or I have not committed sins like Indra committed, killing someone for my own sake. Why, he's a king of demigods. How can he do such acts? So it's like a person who has millions of qualities, and he has, say, 10-12 bad habits, 10-12 bad qualities. If all the time we are talking about his bad qualities only, the image we form in our mind about that person is a very not so complete. I mean, it's a bad image. He's a bad person. And if you only talk about good qualities, even though a person may have all bad qualities and only one good quality. And if you only talk about good qualities, then that person becomes very good in our image. The image we form of that person is very good. When we come to bhakti in our beginning days of, I have not become Krishna conscious, but just for speaking like this, for the sake of explaining, when we come to Krishna consciousness, or let's say when we come to ISKCON, the beginning days, all the devotees, they appear to us. Oh, they're so great, they're so pious, they're so good. Because we are new and we are only looking at good qualities. I mean, that's what attracted us to ISKCON. Some people, I mean, many devotees, they have this experience. Just by looking at the picture of Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita, and the way he is sitting in a meditative posture and he is absorbed in singing the kirtan, even that attracts. I'm one example of that. Even that attracts people to meet such a person. So then they come to temple and practically everyone appears. They're so clean, neat and clean. They smile, they're beautiful faces, shining faces, nice tilak, kanthi, neat and clean, dhoti kurta. Everyone is greeting each other, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Hare Krishna Mataji. That no one is talking in slang language. So everyone appears to us. My Guru Maharaj says in beginning days, everyone appears to us Vaikuntha man. And later we start looking at faults. Oh, he has this fault, he has that fault. So we also wonder, initial days my chanting was so good, my reading was so good. That association I'm missing today. What is happening today? Why am I not feeling that? Because now we are looking at the faults. So the image changes. So similarly, Indra, Lord Indra, in fact, in Vedas, he is described as Lord Indra, not just Indra. So we don't have any adhikar to criticize anyone. Forget demigods. Even criticizing others is bad acting. Even if someone is at fault, we should not criticize him. In a mood of actually pointing out to his fault and bringing him down. Who can become critical of others? One who can bring him to the right path. If someone is doing something wrong, I can criticize, and that criticism should be constructive. It's called constructive criticism. That means criticizing and then constructing so that that person overcomes his fault and becomes a better person. And I also do not hold on to his faults for the life, for all life. So sometimes people want to become good, but others don't let them become good. Like in Hindi, there is a saying, "No so chuhe kha ke billi haj ko chali." There is a saying like that. Now, some people who want to become sadhus or practicing spirituality, some demon-like people, they always criticize. Acha, we have seen what all sinful activities you have done. Now you are trying to become a saint. These are all bogus. They are all show off. The person is trying to become good. But there are some leg pullers. They won't let you become good. So one has to overcome all this. One should not listen to such people. Similarly, why am I talking on this point? That demigods like Indra, Chandra, we will see in Bhagavatam, even Chandra's mistake, Brihaspati's mistake is mentioned. They are all great personalities. Brihaspati is guru of Uddhava, who is a pure devotee. Even Brihaspati is a great devotee of Lord. We have no right to criticize them. Bhagavatam mentions about their faults so that we can learn that even great personalities like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, they commit mistakes. Prabhupada writes in purport. So when Prabhupada writes in one of the purport of Bhagavad Gita, this is in second chapter, one of the purport, Prabhupada says, no one can overcome, even great personalities like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are afflicted by lust sometimes. The lust is such a powerful enemy. So that purport is not meant to deride Lord Shiva or to look down upon those who are worshipping Lord Shiva. Some fools take it like that. And they start propaganda against ISKCON, against Prabhupada. And it has happened happening even today in India. Many YouTubers and all. But they don't understand that not Prabhupada is not trying to blaspheme Lord Shiva. That's an offense to the holy name. To blaspheme devotees is the first offense. And all these demigods, they are devotees. If someone has this mistaken idea that no, this offense, the holy name offense, the first offense is about devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy name of the Lord. Or that is what the line says. So we should not blaspheme those devotees who have completely dedicated themselves for service of the Lord. Others who are mixed, we can blaspheme. Does it say like that? Oh, let's ask ourselves, what does our common sense say? If someone, all of us present here, forgive me please, but we are trying to become pure devotees. So that means we all are mixed devotees. I'm not even qualified to be called as a devotee. I'm in a garb of a devotee. Kalir chela. Mathe tila galay mala. Ehi kalir chela. So I'm kali chela. But still, Krishna likes us all. We are part of Krishna's family. So someone who is just like, no matter how mischievous a child may be, someone else talks anything about the child, bad about child, mother feels hurt. Our parents don't like. Arre jaisa bhi hamara bachcha hai, we will correct him. If you want to complain, complain in a positive way. So that's how Krishna also feels. Supreme Lord, anyone who comes to him, we are all trying to become pure devotees. But we have accepted Krishna as Supreme Lord. We are chanting his holy name. We are claiming ourselves as a Vaishnava by dressing as a Vaishnava. So if we blaspheme any devotee, even a neophyte, Krishna is not happy. He does not like this. So we should learn from the mistakes of devotees. Like Prabhupada used to quote this very often. The quote from Bible. Jesus Christ used to say, hate the sin, not the sinner. So by seeing, even ISKCON has a history. And we all know that. But the point is, despite so many things which have happened in past, ISKCON is still growing because devotees are focusing on positive aspects. We all are conditioned. If I, due to my past samskaras, after 10 years of being in ISKCON, commit some activities which is, say, abominable, still, that does not put any, that does not spoil the name of, I mean, philosophy as it is. I can't change that. And this, even people who are in other traditions, they also understand. Before my initial days of ISKCON, before I joined ISKCON and got connected to ISKCON, I used to listen to a Muslim scholar. I won't name him. So one point I liked very much, that fellow was saying on a big stage that if you want to understand a tradition, read the books. Don't try to learn from people. I mean, people are definitely representative. But if you want to learn things as it is, read the books, philosophy. People may be wrong. People may not be following philosophy as it is. But the books are describing philosophy as it is. So read the books. I like that point very much. Till now I remember that this is true. If one wants to know what is ISKCON or what is Gaudiya Vaishnavism, one should read the books by Acharyas. One should read the books given by Srila Prabhupada. If someone tries to understand Gaudiya Vaishnavism by looking at my behavior, he will certainly be misguided because my behavior is not up to mark. So read the book. So point is, these great personalities like Indra, Brihaspati, Chandra, even great kings, great devotees who are now in spiritual world. All the names given in Bhagavatam, Acharya has explained, all the names which is there in Bhagavatam, even Duryodhana, they're all in a spiritual world today. Right now, they're all in a spiritual world. So it is not given for sometimes people actually, I have seen some devotees deriding others by taking these names. So they tease others by giving these names of demons to them. Are Ravan kahika? This is not for that. Ravan is a devotee. Hiranyakashipu is a devotee. So this is for our, this all these pastimes are given so that we correct ours and we become alert that, oh, I am so sinful. I am born in Kali Yuga, that's the proof that I am so sinful. And material life means, Prabhupada explains, material life means sinful life. Disobeying God's instructions is sin. The definition of sin is anything which does not please Krishna. Straightforward definition. Anything which does not please Krishna, even if that is truth, so-called truth of this material world, it is a sin. So, in our school days, we read Mahabharata. It was part of our syllabus. So, majorly everyone in India, actually, those who have not heard Prabhupada or those who have not come in touch with Acharyas, who can explain Mahabharata in real meaning, in its real meaning, everyone practically, even today, thinks that Yudhishthira, because he spoke lie, he had to see hell. Everyone thinks like this. But Acharya has explained, no. When Krishna asked him to speak a lie, that you say that Ashwatthama is killed, Yudhishthira desisted. How can? Because he was attached to his religious principle. So even attachment to religious principle, which does not please Krishna, or which Krishna does not want you to follow for that particular time, that is also sinful. Srila Vyasadeva, as I have heard from Prabhupada's disciples, actually Srila Vyasadeva is doing, what he is doing in Mahabharata is, he is taking a lens and he is showing to us through these different personalities that how you are, how Krishna is reciprocating with you. And it is based on how you place Krishna in your life. If you are placing Krishna here in your heart, he will come out of your heart and protect you, like he did with Pandava. If you are placing Krishna far away, then he won't reciprocate with you. Ye yatha mam prapadyante, Duryodhana, Dushasana, Sakuni, and Karna, they never associated, I mean, they never kept Krishna at the center of their life. And the mixed personalities like Dronacharya, Kripacharya, they knew Krishna is Supreme Personality of God, but they could not take full benefit of that. But great personalities like Pandavas and Bhishma, they are celebrated as pure devotees, they went back to God. So this we have to learn whenever we, this Bhagavatam is nothing but description of different devotees from different timelines and how they perform devotional service. If they committed mistake, in what led them to committing that mistake, what prompted them to do that sinful activity, and how they purified themselves from that sinful reaction. All this we have to learn. So, at every moment, our life is actually full of sins. And sinful activities pull us down. It brings us down. Those who are sinful, they can't do bhajan. I think I said this in last class also. Krishna says, what is that verse? Yesham tu antagatam papam, janana punya karmanam. Unless our papa sins are reduced to almost zero, and punya, pious activity, is a lot, janana punya karmanam, too many pious credits, then only we'll be able to do bhajan. And Prabhupada explains that this pious activity is not by karma kanda. By doing karma kanda, we are not eligible to do bhakti. I mean, we are not even given entrance into the world of bhakti, no matter how much pious activities through karma kanda we do, like giving charity to poor or donating land to for public cause. These are all pious activities, but this does not give us bhakti. Bhakti is only with a devotee. Bhakti, bhakta, bhagavan. So only a devotee can give bhakti. So unless one serves a devotee directly or indirectly, his account for bhakti does not open. So that means we all are today trying to become pure devotee. We have entered the world of bhakti. Somewhere or other, either some devotee gave his causeless mercy to us, and we can very much see that because of Prabhupada's causeless mercy, we all are here. Or maybe in previous life or in this life, directly, indirectly, we have served a devotee. And that opened our bhakti account. But it's not too high. That's why right now there is struggle. There is struggle, and practically majority of us, majority of devotees in ISKCON, they started their devotional life very late in their life. Almost after youth is over, youth life is over. So that shows that it's not much, but somewhere we got the mercy of a devotee. Now we have to increase it. So what punya should I do? Punya is hearing and chanting Lord's holy name. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. This is punya. Bhagavatam itself, this is punya. Srinivatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtan. When we hear about Krishna, that itself is a punya activity. We should not do bhakti for a reason. If someone asks us, why am I doing bhakti? Why you are doing bhakti? Why you are listening about Krishna? What benefit you will get? And I am not listening about Krishna for any benefit. Even that should not be the motive. That is called hetu bhakti. But bhakti should be ahetuki, without any cause. Why am I listening about Krishna? Because one should come to the point that now I don't have anything to do. I mean, this is what I am meant to do. I don't know anything else. Will you get anything? Are you doing it for a purpose? I know there is no purpose. This is what I am meant to do. I have been designed for this. If a machine is programmed for cleaning the floor, if you switch it on, it will only clean the floor. It cannot perform any other activity. It cannot wash your clothes. It will only clean the floor. So because it is programmed for that. So I am Amsha of Krishna, and my Swarupa is Das of Krishna. Jivera Swarupa Krishna Nitya Das. So that is my constitutional position. Why should I look for a purpose? Benefit of serving Krishna. That is what I've been designed for. One should come to that stage. I'm listening to Krishna because that is all I have got to do. So that removes our sinful reactions. Even after coming to bhakti, we should know some sins we know. Prabhupada gave us these four regulatory principles. I mean, not Prabhupada, it is there in Shastra. And Shastra described many sinful activities. The list is endless. But basically, it all starts with these four things. If someone is doing these four things, other sinful activities are originating from these four. These are the root of sinful life. So if you remove this, then other sinful activities are also reduced. But still, like there are examples, committing violence to others. So that is covered in four regulatory principles if you maintain. If you are discriminating between devotees, like say we all are grihasthas, majority of us are grihasthas here. All of us are grihasthas here. No brahmachari is attending class. So if we are inviting guests at home for honoring prasad, and if we show partiality in serving them, like one senior devotee, one junior devotee, and we show partiality, special items for senior devotee and less special item for and common items for junior devotee, that is also sin. So, anyways, there's a big list. So, I'm not describing all that. So, point is, a devotee who is sincere in his practice and very respectful in his demeanor, he will automatically understand all this. But I should not discuss. What happens is, when we are open to receiving Paramatma's guidance, he is all the time guiding us. How do we open ourselves for his guidance? By showing humility, by maintaining a humble demeanor. All devotees are great. I am the most fallen soul. And whenever I get opportunity to serve Vaishnavas, oh, that's my fortune. That's Krishna's mercy. So automatically, we will see that life is free of sin. We are not committing sin. And unknowingly committed sins, their repentance, the thought of repentance itself is actually a great act. Yes. If I'm thinking that I'm sinful, I have committed sins, I should get suffering for that. Even that thought is also purifying. But if we commit sins, as Indra, in previous verses we saw that even Brahmanas, they suffered. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains how they suffered, how Brahmanas suffered. Brahmanas said, oh, don't worry, you kill Vritrasur, we'll perform Ashwamedha Yajna and you will be relieved. We'll chant the name of Narayana. Yajna means chanting the names of Narayana. Any yajna involves chanting of the names. If chanting of holy name is not there, yajna is not complete. Even Karmakandi yajna, chanting of Lord Vishnu's name is there. Otherwise, yajna is incomplete. So basically, the holy name completes everything. So Brahmana said, we will perform Ashwamedha yajna. You are protected by Narayana Kavacha. Do not fear. We will relieve you from sins. Brahmanas have got powers. We see that in 8th canto, we will see Bali Maharaj, who was protected by Brahmanas. Even Lord Vishnu, when he appeared, Mother Diti, she performed Payovrata and Lord appeared. Lord said, right now, Bali is protected by Brahmanas. These demons are protected by Brahmanas. So don't worry. Right now, I will not do anything. So even Supreme Personality of God and Prabhupada writes, he does not interfere if someone is protected by devotees and Brahmanas. Brahmanas are very powerful. Obviously, we are talking about true Brahmanas, not caste Brahmins. So they're so powerful that they can even change Dharma Shastra. They can change Dharma. There was one great Brahmana, his name was Mandukirishi. So Yamaraj caught him. He was performing tapasya. Yamdutas took him and they put him on a, what do you call shula in English? The big lance. And that lance penetrated him halfway through the bottom hole. But that rishi, because Manduka rishi was so powerful, he did not scream like others. He tolerated all that. Then Yamdutas were surprised that this lance is not piercing his entire body. And Manduka Rishi called for Yamaraj and he asked him, for what did you punish me? I was doing tapasya. Yamaraj explained to him, when you were 5 years old, you used to, in your playful mood, you used to take insects and pierce their body from the backside. For that sin, you are suffering right now. Manduka Rishi got angry. Yamaraj, he was acting because that's the set of instructions he had received from higher authorities. Yamaraj knows dharma. Dharma means whatever principles Supreme Lord has laid and it is passed down through Brahma. So Yamaraj was just following that. Judge is impartial in giving punishment, even if the victim is, convict is his own relative. He does not, a good judge does not mix his personal feelings in his judgment. So Yamaraj just did that. But Manduka Rishi, he was so powerful. He said, you don't have discriminatory power. Viveka. Your Viveka is lost. That's why you be born as a Shudra in Mrityu Loka. Go to planet Earth, be born as a Shudra. Yamaraj got close. And he changed till 14 years. A child will not get any sinful reactions for any sins he commits. His parents will get sins. Leh. Now parents are at greater risk. Child, he is performing sinful reactions. That's why Bhagavatam says it's a great responsibility. Pitana sasyat, guru na sasyat, mata na sasyat, janini na sasyat. Don't become a mother and father if you cannot deliver your ward from the clutches of birth and death. So if a child is performing sinful activity, parents are responsible. We cannot say, I did not know. My child went to school, there he did something. But because if I did not give him good samskaras, if I have given him good samskaras, he will not do. He will not steal. But if his samskaras are bad, he will steal, he will speak, tell lies. So it's parents' responsibility. They get reaction for that. So this Rishi was so powerful, Brahmana was so powerful. He changed dharma. He changed dharma. And similarly, we have more than 20 dharma shastras. So many great rishis like Yajnavalkya, Kukula, they have described. So Lord, he does not interfere if someone is protected by brahmanas. But if brahmanas misuse their position and misuse or the potency of the holy name, they are also affected by sinful reaction. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains in the purport, they all, Indra, he got reaction of Brahma Hatya just by discrimination, or because the reaction was bigger because he actually committed this violence. He killed Vritrasura on the pretext of getting saved by Ashwamedha Yagya or chanting the names of Narayan. So this is Namna Balad Yasehi Pabu Buddhi. So the reaction was very severe. So he could not be saved. So Indra ran to Mansarovar to save himself. For 1,000 years he did tapasya. These brahmanas, they suffered through the hands of Nahusha. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained. When Nahusha became king, because of his mystic powers, he has mystic powers, he had austerity, power from got begotten from austerities, and for 1,000 years he ruled heavenly kingdom. He officiated the post of Indra. But then Nahusha also committed mistake and he was cursed to become a snake. So these brahmanas, they were actually, Nahusha employed them in carrying his palanquin. Nahusha used to beat them. So they all suffered a lot. And this is all because of their own sinful, the offense they committed at the towards the holy name. So we don't know which sinful reaction is fructifying when it is so deep rooted. And NOD first chapter describes putam, bijam, prarabdha, aprarabdha. So which sinful reaction is fructifying at what time, we don't know. But bhakti is so powerful that it burns except prarabdha. Everything is burnt. Putam, bijam. If we do intense bhakti, offenseless chanting, then it burns our sinful reaction. Only, and we can see from our own life, devotees who are very fixed up in their sadhana and seva, they are actually not getting many suffering. So we don't have problems of stress and depression. We all are testimony of that. And because bhakti makes us satisfied, it gives us peace, bliss in the heart, that hankering for more, that has also gone down. So we are not suffering in that way also. So by practicing bhakti, or just by entering the world of bhakti, we have protected ourselves from loads of sinful reactions. So we all should, when we all are doing that, we should become more firm in our practice, more determined in our practice, that my material existence, one devotee explained that ignorance, material life means ignorance. Papa says ignorance. In fact, Prabhupada himself says, material life means, sinful life means to remain in ignorance. To remain in ignorance is sinful life. Because Prabhupada is lecturing on Bhagavad Gita 4th chapter, text number 34 to 39. This is lecture in 1969 in Los Angeles. Prabhupada says, our sinful life means ignorance, due to ignorance. Or we can say, ignorance is my sin. Prabhupada himself says, ignorance is my sin. A reaction of sin is ignorance. Both are true. To remain in ignorance is a sin, and the reaction of sinful life is more ignorance. It's like one goes on, one goes down, gliding down. If we remain in ignorance, if we don't cultivate knowledge, Bhagavat Gyan, then we glide down in ignorance, perpetually cast into darkness. We become demoniac. And to demons, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? What does he do to the demons? I cast them down in the darkest region of those who think that I am Ishvara, or those whose life are demoniac. They may be very moral apparently externally towards their own relatives or towards their own society, but that morality does not save them from going into lower species of life, gliding towards hell. So sinful, sin means activities which does not please Krishna, that is sin. And activities which please Krishna, even if it is sin, in it may be apparently sinful, but it is not sinful, it is liberating. Any activity which is associated with Krishna is actually liberating. Any activity which is not associated with Krishna is binding. So that is the crux of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna says, you just surrender to me. Surrender means doing what Krishna wants. That is called surrender. I am chanting the holy name of Krishna. I am reading Prabhupada's books. But if I am not willing to listen to the representative, Krishna's representative, and lead my life accordingly, that means I am not showing full surrender. Some surrender I have shown, that I have given up sinful activities. I am following four regulative principles, at least physically. But, and I'm chanting, I'm doing Mangalarti, but still, full surrender, complete surrender means Guru said, do this, I do that only. Nothing else. I don't apply my intelligence in why should I do that. I apply my intelligence in how should I do that. That is all complete surrender. Krishna, we are not so great like Arjuna that Krishna will personally come to guide us. Even if Krishna comes us to guide us personally right now, we are like Duryodhana and Dushasana, who will not listen to him. Or we may be like Karna, very great in skills, very great in knowledge, but attached to our own principle. So we will disobey even Krishna. So there are various levels of attachment. And we have to break all these barriers and show our surrender. Even attachment to my own spiritual practices can be a wall between me and Krishna. Obviously, only Guru or Shiksha Guru, who is appointed by Diksha Guru, they can see that. We will not be able to see that. It does not mean that when we do our sadhana, then any seva which comes, oh no, no, my sadhana should not come in the way of seva. Let me do seva. Now we should be very sincere in our sadhana also. And we have to discriminate. But when Krishna says, or when Krishna's representative says that you do this right now, that time I should show my surrender. That time if I say, no, I've got my sadhana to do. And this is one level up. This is general principle. What Prabhupada has given is attend morning program, do book distribution, there are many services. This is one level. But then a higher level is, say a Prabhupada comes right now and asks us, okay, it's 4:30, we are running towards temple hall for attending Mangalarti. Prabhupada says, no, come here, come in my room, I need something. Prabhupada, Mangalarti, forget Mangalarti, come to my room. So what will be pleasing to Krishna? Attending Mangalarti or obeying Guru's instruction? So that is another level. And not everyone can imitate that. And in fact, devotees also should not imitate that. That sometimes too many services. We have too many services. And we don't do our sadhana properly. So then there is an imbalance between sadhana and seva. Guru knows. Guru knows the balance, that's why he can do. He can see, so he can instruct us in any way. But we cannot imitate him. So as long as Guru's instruction has not come, we have to follow the system set up by Acharya very strictly. No compromise. And senior devotees should also try to set an example so that juniors can follow. And juniors, gradually, all of us actually, we should understand that senior devotees, they have higher services to do. So they are not in the, they are not in, what do you say? I cannot judge them. They are not in my domain of judgment. So I cannot judge them. So because ISKCON is a big and it is growing society, and so many advanced devotees are there now. So, and different activities we are performing today. New avenues are coming. So sometimes we may see that a senior devotee is externally, he is not visibly doing the following the morning program or what general instructions are there. So we are no one to judge. We are no one to judge. We have to see ourselves that am I honest or not? Because my spiritual life is my responsibility. Others' spiritual life is not my responsibility. It is their responsibility and their guru's responsibility. So what I should do is I should learn from the lessons of great personalities, what good things they did and how they were rewarded by Krishna. Great devotees like Prithu Maharaj, Mother Kunti, Bhishma Pitama, and also mistakes committed by great personalities like Indra, Brahma, and how they were purified from their sinful reactions by performing devotional service. So all this I should gather together and take out the cream that, okay, if I follow, if I take shelter of the holy name of Lord and not commit any offense, if unknowingly if I have committed some sins, I should pray to Lord for forgiveness, He will forgive. Maharaj Parikshit is an example of that. In Bhagavatam, first canto, 19th chapter only, Maharaj Parikshit, actually he was very repentful. He was atoning for that. He said, unknowingly I committed sin. He was a pure devotee. He could not do that. He could not insult a Brahmana. But by the influence of Kali, he did that. But he was so distressed, was so repentful that he wanted to give up everything. He said, let the reaction come now. Let me suffer now, not wait for future. So there Prabhupada explained that even that thought of repentance is enough. So that is how we should lead our lives. Every moment should be a moment of gratitude. Every moment should be a moment of repenting for our past sins. And every moment we should be just pondering upon this, that how fortunate I am that I have got the opportunity to be in association of devotees, read such an topmost philosophy, discuss, read Bhagavatam every day, know where it is happening. Other than ISKCON, know where it is happening, that every day I am getting to hear Bhagavatam. So, this itself is such a great pious activity. One cannot even measure its quantity, its magnitude. So, this is all I had to say today. If I have committed any mistakes in presenting my unstructured speech, I beg forgiveness from all the senior devotees present here. And I'm very thankful again to Shyama Gauri Mataji to give me opportunity. We are grihasthas. We are trying to perform bhakti, but we are not fully dedicated to Lord. Some grihasthas are fully dedicated, but as a grihastha, we are obliged to do other activities, which is not direct devotional service. Satyaraj Khan, is a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he asked Lord Chaitanya that we are, he presents himself like that, that we are grihastha, we are materialistic. How can we be purified? The Lord advised him, chant the holy name incessantly, Sarva Vaishnava, Sarva Krishna. So, sometimes in our household affairs, we get so entangled that we don't realize that time is going away. But great devotees, inner devotees, like Shyama Gauri Mataji, they give us opportunity so that we can read Bhagavatam and speak something so that we ourselves get reminded, oh, I have to do this. I have spoken now. Now at least I should chant, try to chant offenselessly. So thank you once again, Mataji, for giving the opportunity. Thanks all the devotees. Please correct me if anywhere I went. If there are any questions, if I know, I can try to answer. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. That was really a very wonderful instructive class. And I just like the definition of the sins which you told, that anything which we do that pleases Krishna, that is the shloka which comes, Anukulyena Sankalpam Pratikulyena Vachana. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. And once, as you also quoted a few shlokas from Bhagavatam, saying that once whose sinful acts have been eradicated, they can worship me. So that's what the Lord has told. And even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at last he told that he has instructed the grihasthas how to do this bhakti just only by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. So, we have one raised hand. Rinki Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna. So, my question is, you say to cultivate Gyan, but how to cultivate the Gyan so that while we are in cultivating bhakti? And what are the various attachments which are obstacles of bhakti yoga?
I'm sorry to interrupt, Mataji. Now your voice is little clear. I could not hear the first part. Can you repeat your question little loudly?
Yes, Prabhuji. How to cultivate the gyan through bhakti yoga? And what are the various attachments which are obstacles of bhakti yoga?
How to cultivate Gyan through Bhakti Yoga?
While we are performing Bhakti Yoga.
Okay, so your question is, let me rephrase it, how to cultivate knowledge through Bhakti Yoga? That's what you are trying to ask.
Yes, Prabhu.
So Bhakti includes Gyan and Vairagya. Gyan and Vairagya, knowledge and detachment, these are two sons of Bhakti. So, there are various limbs of bhakti and that gives us jnana. Jnana means that which jnana we are trying to cultivate? Jnana related to Krishna. We are not trying to, in fact, Bhagavatam has all the jnana, all the knowledge, even material knowledge also it has. What material modern science is trying to study or doing, Bhagavatam explains even that. And there are scientists in our movement who are giving those types of presentations also. But we are not so intellectual. So, but if we read Prabhupada's book, that we cultivate knowledge through that. Knowledge means the discriminatory power to understand what is right, what is wrong. That is knowledge. Opposite of that is ignorance. And ignorance leads to sins. So if we read Prabhupada's books every day, regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, we cultivate Jnana. And that itself, that reading activity itself is Bhakti. It's a limb of Bhakti. It's a Kirtan, Shravanam, Kirtanam. So reading book is also Shravanam. Prabhupada has spoken each and every word. These purports are dictated by Prabhupada, not written or typed by Prabhupada. So we are hearing from Prabhupada when we are reading these books. So that is an act of Bhakti. And regarding the second part, yeah, barriers in bhakti. So barriers,
various attachment. You said about the attachment, Prabhu. So there's a various level
various
of
attachments. Okay. So various attachments, as I understand, I may not know completely. Various attachments in bhakti is, first attachment is our attachment to our own ideas, our own comforts. I want to perform bhakti in my comfort zone. That is first attachment. We know that waking up before Mangal Arati is very important. Or sometimes I may not do that. Or senior devotees, they are asking us to do something. But because I am attached to my own ideas, I may not listen to them. Or because I am attached to my own habits, and I am not willing to give it up for Krishna's sake. Something which is making me materialistic. Like some devotee may have habit of browsing, internet browsing. So that wastes time. But because I am attached, I am not giving it up. So that is also a barrier. And too many material obligations, trying to fulfill too many material obligations, that is also hindrance in bhakti. That is also attachment. Prabhupada does not say that we should be we should not care about our family. In fact, he mentions that it's natural. Affection for family members is natural. But if I'm too much into serving my relatives or fulfilling my material obligation, that may also hamper my bhakti. So, and there are many things. We can ourselves, on our day-to-day basis, we can see that where my time went. So before going to bed, just if we can just analyze our day, that how I spent today's day, so we can easily figure out where we wasted our time. And time wasting means, because of my attachment, I did something which was not required. Why I did? Because I was attached. So that wasted my time. I could have spent that time in performing kirtan, associating with devotees, or any devotional activity.
Prabhuji, is it, I don't know I'm supposed to ask or not, but I'm asking that if I have your email address, can I ask you a question? I don't know, is it right or I don't know, I just ask you.
Yeah, I don't have any problem. I may not respond immediately, but yeah, you can respond. You can ask questions.
Can I?
So, yeah, I'm typing in the chat box.
Yes, Prabhu.
It's my name @gmail.com. As it is, I have spelled here, Adokshaja Krishnadas @gmail.com.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you.
So much for the comments. Yeah, so yeah, as you said, various hindrances are there in the process of bhakti. The major thing is, I find for myself, I feel that it is the social media, including this YouTube and Facebook, Instagram. I'm not there for a long time, so I don't know about that, but only the YouTube, which we have seen. So, but Prabhuji, my question is, YouTube, sometimes we see for something like cooking videos or means apart from the lectures, if you see any other thing that is a barrier, Prabhuji?
No, I did not say that. I said when we are wasting our time in browsing, if for some purpose, if for my official purpose or for some work or for some seva, if I'm making use of the technology, that's not barrier. But the problem with YouTube is, it gives us so many vikalpas, options. I open YouTube to watch one video. If I am clear in what I want to see, what I am looking for, and if I am controlled, my senses are controlled, then I'll just go and take out what I want and then close it. But the moment we open, so many thumbnails, now it's all about, the game is all about how attractive thumbnails you make.
Yeah.
And people immediately click on that.
They give so many ideas also. Like you can see this, you can see this.
Gone, finished, time finished, day finished. And slowly life is finished.
Even in Google also nowadays, as soon as we open the Google Chrome shows all the
many devotees who are actually very strict and who know that it is my weakness, they actually, even today, they don't have smartphones. Even preachers.
Yeah,
some preachers in our movement, they don't even have smartphones. And they are still preaching very nicely.
Yeah.
Prabhupada like preached again without a phone. So,
yes, true.
In fact, now this chat GPT has come. One devotee was showing me today. He had to draft a letter to all his senior officials. So he just gave keywords to chat GPT and that this chat GPT gave him a nice letter, big letter. He was showing me the letter. It was so nicely drafted. I did not even feel like reading it. I said, now humans will become more dumb. Yeah. At least I was using my intelligence to put down the thoughts in words, use proper words. Now everything chat GPT is doing, I'm just giving keywords. So when I speak, I mean, letter is letter. It is written by chat GPT. But when I interact with people, I don't know what words to use and how to put my thoughts in a proper way. So I'll remain a dumb person. And that's what technology is doing. We are thinking that we will use this technology to create better things, but we are not able to see that we are getting entangled more and more. Now people are not using their intelligence.
Yeah, that's correct, Prabhuji. So one after other, like even smartphones, we buy one today, the next day other one will get released. So it's like that, never ending. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hemi Mataji, please go ahead.
Dhanvat Pranam Prabhuji, very beautiful
Hare
class.
Hare
Krishna. I was just thinking that the rishis are so exalted and intelligent. Why would they ask Indra to commit a sin and then say, well, we'll take care of it by doing a yajna?
They are exalted, but they are not pure devotees. You know, you may be... Our head may become very heavy by knowledge of. That is one of the anartha. In Krishna Leela, in the 10th canto, the first 18 chapters, demons of Vrindavan, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that each and every pastime is actually removing one of the anarthas present in our heart. So the pastime of Brahma getting bewildered, Brahma Vimohan Leela, that actually removes the anartha of pride arisen from knowledge. If I have knowledge, and because of that, or the pastime of brahmanas who were performing sacrifices, they did not listen to cowherd boys, they did not give the bhoga prepared for sacrifice to Krishna. It is because of knowledge. That knowledge gave rise to pride in them. So they commit mistake. That's an anartha. So these brahmanas, they are exalted. They say, oh, we are brahmanas, we are powerful. We can perform sacrifice and... So that's what I discussed in class, that even great personalities, when they commit mistakes, we should see that anarthas, everyone is affected by anarthas in this matter. Even great person. So we should not be surprised upon seeing such instances or reading such instances. Because this is the realm of Maya. She is so powerful. She is Duratyaya, Krishna used. Very difficult to overcome. Very, very difficult. And Maya does not always mean allurements for sense gratification. They are subtle sense gratification. Is anartha, that's also Maya. Too much knowledge, gathering knowledge is also sometimes hindrance on the path of bhakti.
So Prabhuji, then should we question when somebody gives us a guidance and start using our own intelligence? What I understand
that's
is we are
three parameters are given. Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. How will you know a person is Guru? Prabhupada says, if you want to buy gold, at least some preliminary knowledge you should have, that what is gold, how does it look like. If you don't even know what is gold, someone may tell you iron, the name of gold, you will be cheated. So who is at fault? I am at fault because my ignorance, I am in ignorance. So three parameters, that's why it's never said only Guru. It does not say only Shastra. There are three parameters, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. So I should read scriptures and then I should be in association of devotees. And don't worry, if I am sincere in my pursuit, Paramatma is ultimately, he is guiding everyone. So Paramatma will guide me to understand who is right, who is wrong. If some wrong guidance is coming from a senior devotee, Paramatma will guide me to not follow it. Or some right guidance will come. Or even say, now our movement is so big, many of our spiritual masters have such a big disciple base. They may not be able to guide each and every disciple on a day-to-day basis in every small activity. Like it used to happen in Vedic times, gurus used to keep disciples with them and guide them personally. So some spiritual masters have a big disciple base. And say some senior devotee under whose care I have been put by my spiritual master, that devotee gave me some wrong guidance. And I have been doing that. And then my spiritual master came and he said, no, this should not have been done. Change it. Now you may wonder, oh, Guru Maharaj wanted this. This senior devotee made me do this for such a long time, which Guru Maharaj did not want actually. Now, how will I believe on him? How will I trust him? Every time, whenever he says anything, I will always have a doubt. At that time, this is my understanding. You can confirm this from other devotees. I may be wrong in my understanding, but I take it like that it is my reaction. For that particular timing, if something wrong, I was following, and this was coming from a devotee, and that led to problems, that was just my karmic reaction. It had to come from someone. Because I'm in society of devotees, I'm not going out, so it has to come from a devotee. Say I don't move out of the temple, ever. My mandir se bahar jata nahi. I don't go out, I don't step out of the temple. Everyone is a devotee in the temple. So then my sinful reactions will come through a devotee. He'll become an instrument. So for that particular time, I just take it as my karma. Okay. And because throughout that time I was sincere, Krishna sent Guru, and on time Guru came and saved me from doing more wrong. Or he just guided me. And it's not that even if some wrong guidance comes, it is not that wrong. No devotee tells us to violate regulative principles or behave in a inappropriate manner. There may be some managerial differences in opinion, which is all right. As long as we are sincerely following, Krishna will send better guidance in time. By that time, we should just obediently follow what is being told. So don't worry about that.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Dandavat pranam.
Prabhuji is very enlightening. Sorry to interfere. That you guiding is really enlightening. There is something like we are not supposed to do, but some other devotee saying do like this, and the guru is correcting us. So we take it as like it's probably my reaction. So that we also save ourselves from offending the Vaishnava.
Yeah. Thank you, Mati. So, Mati, can we stop here now?
Vijay, Hare Krishna. So, I don't see any more questions or hand raised. So, thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for enlightening today's class. It was very wonderful. Nice Q&A session also. So, I would request you to come on this forum again and again to give us such a nectarian class. So, devotees, let's pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa kripa shekpa sindhu kripa patita nam bhavanya pura vaishnavi vyam namaha ananta koti vaishnavi Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, His Grace, Sadakshaja Krishna Prabhuji Ki Jai.
Jai.
Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much.
Nityananda Gauranga. Hare Krishna.
Nityananda. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Gauranga Nityananda.
So we can end the call here.
Yes, Mataji.
Vinita Mataji, are you there? Vinita Mataji?